This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Right. So what we're going to do this evening is a very beautiful piece that I heard from Rabbi Pinchas Roberts. There are actually three themes that we're going to share tonight. The first one is the main one, which will take sort of 15, 20 minutes. Then there are two very beautiful shorter ideas on Shavuos. The first and the main idea I heard many years ago from Rabbi Pinchas Roberts, a very, very beautiful idea. He quotes a very famous Gemara, which is often mentioned this time of year. The Gemara in Shabbos, Peches on the base. Says the Gemara, this is source number one. Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, B'shar she'ola Moshe lamarim. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heights, to heavens, Omru malachi ha'shores lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The angels said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono shel Olam, ma liyulud isha beinenu. What is this human being doing here? This is not his area. This is heaven. Omer lohen, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said back to the malachim, lekabel Torah bo. He's come to receive the Torah. So Omer lefonov chamudu genuzu shegenuzu lechotesh meis v'shivim v'abo deiris. This precious treasure, which has been hidden away for 974 generations, kaidim shenivar olam, before the world was created, atam mevakish litne lebos of Adam, you're going to give it to human beings. So Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Hech ze lohen tshuva, you answer them. So Amal Lefonov, Ribbono HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ribbono Shalom, Misiyari Ani Shema Yisrafuni Behevah Shabapim, I'm worried they're going to burn me. Amal Lois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Achoyiz Bekisei Kvoidi V'chozo lohen tshuva, V'chazo lohen tshuva. You hold on to my Kisei HaKavod and you answer them. Now it's a very strange Gemara. On this Gemara is this. Why were the Malachim resisting? You know, if I share Divrei Torah with everyone here this evening, and you go home and share this at your Shavuos tables, it doesn't take away from my Torah, it doesn't diminish what I know, or there's no harm for me, on the contrary. You know, I remember in school, way back, when I was a kid in school, I remember Yitzi Shafer speaking. He was in the sixth form, I was a few years below him, and he spoke, it was a Hanukkah Masiba. And he remember him comparing Torah to a candle, and when you take a candle and you light other candles, it doesn't diminish from the first candle. So the Malachim have got the Torah, let them share it with mankind, they will still have Torah, other people will have Torah. What is their problem? What is their concern? Why are they so resistant to give Torah to Boss of Adam? That's question number one. Question number two. This is based on the Gemara in Chulin. Let's learn this Gemara in Chulin, Dav Zayin, Amud Aleph together. It's a famous Gemara. Reb Pinchas ben Yoye have a ka'ozer le pigeon shavuyim. One time, Reb Pinchas ben Yoye was going on a mission of pigeon shavuyim to redeem captives. Poga bay beginoy nahara. And he encountered the river Ginoy, a river. Omalei, and he couldn't cross it, but he had to get to the other side in order to accomplish his mission to go save this captive person. Omalei Ginoy addressed the river and said, River Ginoy, Chaloikli Meimecho, your waters should split for me, Ve'ever Bach, and I'll cross over the river. Omalei, so the river responded to Reb Pinchas ben Yoye, I'm not doing it. Ato Hoylech Lasis Ritzoin Kaincho, you're going to perform the will of your master, Vakodesh Baruch Hu, to do Pidin Shavuim. Ve'ani Hoylech Lasis Ritzoin Kaini, I'm doing my mission as well. Hakodesh Baruch Hu wants me to flow. Ata sofik oise, sofik yata oise. You may succeed or may not succeed. It's a sofik. Ani vada oise. I'm doing what I'm doing. There's no doubt about it. So sofik against vada wins, and therefore you stay put. Amalei, Sir Pinchas ben Yoye said, listen, im iata hecholek, if you don't split, goizreini olecha shle yavr b'chomayim le'olam. I will be Goizal, decree against you that you will never flow again. Cholokle. And the river split, and he went through, and that was that. Now, the question on this Gemara is this. This is a kash of the Arachayim. The question is, you see, this is one example of many, where Amoraim, rabbis at the time of the Gemara, would basically split rivers, no problem. They'd cross over, they'd split, they had that control, that ability. The question is, came to Yamsuf, and the sea wasn't splitting. Until eventually Nachshon Ben Aminadov went up to his nostrils, and then the sea split. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu who was, you know, as great as Rabbi Ben Yehoi was, one of the, you know, we can't begin to understand his spiritual status. But Moshe Rabbeinu was greater. Why didn't he just say split to the Yamsuf? Why is it that so many Tanoim and Amoraim had this ability, but yet Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron didn't? Seems strange. That's the kasha of the Arachayim. Now, in short, I'll tell you the answer to the Arachayim, then we'll do it inside because it's very beautiful. The Arachayim says there is a difference between before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. In other words, before Matan Torah, Talmidei Chachomim did not have that ability. It's dafka the Koyach HaTorah, which the Amoraim, the Tanoim, would have, that's what gives them the ability to control nature and to split rivers. Take a look. Says the Arachayim. It's in Pashas Peshalach in Perek Yudalet Chof Zayin. Ochein, says the Arachayim, Tanai Zehu in creation, that nature will be subservient to Torah and to those who toil in Torah, and they will do whatever is decreed against them. Their control, their dominion over nature is akin to that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Individual tzaddikim had this mastery over creation. It was all because of this power of Torah. They hadn't yet received the Torah. And therefore their decrees against people didn't work. That's why the Yamsuf didn't split for them. Because the Medrash says that the Yamsuf said to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, you were created on day 6, i.e. mankind, human beings, Adam Rishon was created on day 6, I was created on day 3, I'm older than you. What's it saying? It's like a childhood, you know, child playground debate. I'm older than you. Zeremes ki'ena ben Torah. That's a remez that he hasn't got the koyach of Torah. He's not a ben Torah. What does that mean? Shemhoya ben Torah, he lehu kaidim lai. Because the world only came after Torah. Istakel b'raisa b'ralma. That the world preceded creation. So if he was coming with the mantra, with the power of Torah, then he in fact is older than the Yamsuf. Ki ha-Torah kod malaylam kulay. The Torah preceded the world. Etc. Okay. Therefore, every tzaddik that stands after Kabbalah Satorah, Yovi biyodish starchiv echod lakof lecholik lefonov. He brings a starchiv, a contract, which is going to force the nature to be subservient to him. Therefore, he didn't want to split for Pinchas ben Yoyah. And for whoever was accompanying him, he wanted to punish him. Well, pachat hayam imenu, and the sea sort of got scared. So a very powerful idea from the Arachayim, that what happens at Matan Torah, the keys of creation were handed over to those who have mastery over Torah. And that really explains the first Gemara as well. What the Malachim were hesitant, were resistant to, was handing over the keys to creation. Till then, they had it. It's not stam that, you know this bit of Gemara, you know this Tosfos, you know this Torah. I know. It's more than that. It's the controls, it's the memshala, it's the dominion over the whole of nature. Now, let me tell you a story, which I think brings this this point home very well. It's a famous story. The story involves, like 150 or so years, where a man in Vilna was very unwell. He had a certain lung disease, and he went to various experts, and he was told that there's an expert in Vienna. He went to Vienna, traveled from Vilna to Vienna, and this expert said that he's got a very dangerous lung disease, and he can operate on him, and, you know, there's a chance that he'll survive and he'll be okay. So you have to decide whether to have the operation. He goes back to Vilna to consult and to think about it, and he decides he's going to have the operation. He then has a dream before he sets out on his journey whilst he's still in Vilna. And his father, who has passed away already, comes to him in a dream and says, don't go. Stay put. Don't go to Vilna. It won't be successful. So he wakes up even more confused. What does he do now? The next night, the dream repeats itself. Don't go to Vienna. Stay here in Vilna. It won't be successful. By then, he can question his father and says, "Daddy, if I don't go, it's fatal. It's dangerous here. If I stay here, it's also not an option." So the father explains him as follows. Listen to this. Unbelievable. He said, "What you have, this disease which you have, is actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and it's discussed in Hilchos Trefa about certain diseases that animals have. And this disease is a machlokas. The Rama paskens that the animal who has this disease is a treif, and that means it won't live out the year. However, the Shagas Aryeh, the great Rav, who was the Rav in Vilna, argued with the Rama and said this animal is actually kosher. So if you stay in Vilna, you will be protected by the ruling of the Rav of Vilna, the Shagas Aryeh, and you'll survive. You leave Vilna, you're then bound by the rules of the Rama, who sort of oversaw the whole of Europe, and therefore you won't survive because he rules that this animal is a treifa." And what was pshat in that story? Pshat is that the halachic ruling of the giants of the Torah masters creates a reality. That's what it means. That's the Zohar Chaim. It creates a reality. They have mastery over creation. That they can determine whether a person survives or doesn't survive by passing this is kosher, this is treif. That's what it means. That in Rabbi Lef says, a very beautiful idea, that when you meet someone who is one of the very exceptionally wise person, you make a bracha over him or her. What's the bracha? The bracha is, Asher nosan mechochmosoi lebosav adam. But if you meet an outstanding Talmud Chacham, one of the leaders of the generation, the bracha is a bit different. It's Asher cholak mechochmosoi lireiv. Now, I've been there when this bracha was made. When Reb Steinman, that's not, came to London about 10 years ago, here in the corner where the harvester used to be, they put up a big marquee, and all the schools went, hundreds and hundreds of people. And I can't remember, I think it was Reb Chaim Kaufman from Gateshead. That's all. When he came down, I think it was him, maybe I'm wrong, he came down from Gateshead, and he had asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, "Do we make the bracha?" And Reb Chaim Kanievsky had asked him, "We do make the bracha." And he stood there. It was a very bizarre situation. He stood there next to Reb Steinman, and he was moitzi everyone else there, and he made this bracha, Shecholak Mechachmos Elireov. Can you imagine? And it's a very powerful thing. So I've seen this bracha being made. Now, what's the difference in the Nusach? The difference is this. When you see an exceptionally wise person, you make the bracha Hashem nosan mechochmosa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives of his chochma to other people, and you get exceptionally wise people. When it comes to a Talmud Chacham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just giving, he's sharing. Ashecholak mechochmosa. I.e., you're a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this chochma. That's what it means. You're a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in having mastery over creation. And that explains a Gemara in Yevamos. Listen to this amazing Gemara. This is a Gemara in Yevamos, Kuf Chaf Aleph Omed Aleph. By the way, for those listening online, email me j.golk@gmail.com and Bli Neda, I will send you the handout. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Omer Rabin Gamliel, an amazing Gemara. Pam achas hoyisi mahalech besfina. One time, I was on a ship, v'roisi sfina achas shebesh nishpura. And I was on the ship sailing away, and I see in the distance there was another ship, which was also sailing, but it got into trouble and it capsized. The boat split. It broke. For Yisimitzdayal Talmud Chacham Shiba. And I was worried. I was distressed because there was a Talmud Chacham on that boat. It was none other than the great Rabbi Akiva. Chesheolisi bi'aboshem, when I got up onto dry land, bov v'yoshev adon lefana balocha. I was petrified that Nebuchadnezzar drowned in this tragedy in the sea. And then all of a sudden, when I got to dry land and I was sitting in Beis Din, all of a sudden Rabbi Akiva came into the Beis Medrash. Omar Tziloi Bona Bani Mihelcho. How did you survive? Omali Daf Shel Sfinan Is Damini. A plank of the ship came to me and I held on to it for dear life. V'chol Gal V'gal Shebo Alayin and Esli Rishi. And every wave that came, I sort of bowed my head to it. Now just by the way, as an aside, last week, whenever it was, 2 weeks ago, I was in Poland, and we were in Chachmei Lublin, and my colleague, David Roberts, was speaking there, and he said this Gemara, and he said a famous word from this Gemara, that Ramesh Shapiro, when he found it, when he was standing in Chachmei Lublin, this is his yeshiva, and he found it, Daf Yomi, he quoted this Gemara, and he said, the Daf will save you. He said, how did you survive the shipwreck, the stormy waters? Daf shall Sfina Nizdamini. The Daf came to me, I held on to it for dear life, and I survived. It's a powerful idea. Now, I've got a friend who was traveling, he travels a lot, and he flew Cathay Pacific to the Far East. And he came on with his art scroll Gemara. The stewardess on Cathay Pacific looked at him and said, ah, Daf Yomi. The Daf saved me. Omarti Ba'isa Shah, Rabbi Gamliel said, Ba'isa Shah, Kama Gedolim Divrei Chachomim. How great are the words of the Chachomim, Sh'omru, who say, Mayim She'ish Lohim Soif Muteres, Mayim She'ein Lohim Soif Asura. Mayim, which have a soif, which have a border, Muteres, the lady is Muta, Mayim She'ein Lohim Soif Asura. Now, what does this mean? Listen to this. This is remarkable. The Klausenberger Rebbe said this pshat in this Gemara. We're familiar, unfortunately, with Aguna situations. You have a person, I was in America as well, and I went to visit the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers, the museum there. So, at the time, there were Aguna Shilas. You have Nebuchadnezzar, a person who's on the very high floor, and the plane hit just below it. You know, he calls home, there were terrible, terrible phone calls home, and people were jumping, it was horrific. Now, for the days afterwards, some of the Gedolim, Rabbi Yashiv, was passing Aguna Shilas. He was fasting. What happens if we don't know? There was no, you know, there's no body. There's no. How do we know the person's died? Can the wife remarry? What's the story? Is it sufficient that a phone call came, or someone saw him, or that he was seen an hour earlier there? These were the shilas. The makar for all of these gemaras is this: the gemara here in Yevamos and Kuf Chaf Aleph around there. A few blat deals with these sort of shilas. Now the gemara says this rule: Mayim sheyesh lem. So if someone goes under, Rachman Islan, a person is drowning. If there is a perimeter to the water, for example, a swimming pool or a lake which is small, you can see the edges of the water, and you see the person go under, and you're there for an hour, and no one comes up, Muteres, the lady is allowed to get remarried. Because you're there. If you would have got up, you'd have seen it. Mayim she'ein lo himsoif, Mayim, which does not have a border, in other words, it's a seashore, which goes all the way, the coast goes all the way on both sides, or it's a massive lake. Mayim she'ein lo himsoif, that doesn't have a perimeter, then Asura, because you don't know if the guy survived, maybe he went under, maybe he got up, you know, down the coast, you didn't see it. That's the rule of the Gemara. Says the Klausenberger Rebbe, you know what Pshat is in this Gemara is? Pshat in this Gemara is that when Chazal made that rule, that creates a reality that a person is able to survive. When they said, Mayim she'ein lo himsoif Asura, the waters that haven't got a limit, the woman is forbidden to get married because the man may survive, that creates the hechatimza, that creates the possibility that the person could survive. How great are the words of the Chachomim, Rabbi Akiva, that because they said this, you were able to survive. That's Pshat in the Gemara. Again, they're creating a halachic reality, an astonishing idea. It's the 100% opposite of what we understand in Gemara. They said the words, Mayim she'ein lo himsoif Asura, therefore, you were able to survive, Rabbi Akiva. And there's a remarkable idea, a story about the Klausenberger Rebbe. The Klausenberger Rebbe, one time, he had a chassid. This is in Sons, this is the previous Rebbe. He had a chassid who was very bright and perhaps, you know, sort of scatty professor type, who was once visiting his parents back in Kiryat Sons. And it was an absolute tragedy. His parents lived in an apartment building, and he went to visit them. And they were doing repair work on the staircase and the lifts in that building. And the kid didn't notice. He was a bit absent-minded. And he was walking, and there was a drop of four flights. And he basically went out, and he just walked over into an empty drop, and he fell four flights from a massive height. He had terrible injuries, spinal injuries, and they rushed him to hospital. And the prognosis was terrible. The prognosis was that it was unlikely he would survive. And even if he would survive, the chances are he'd never be able to walk again. So you can imagine the parents, you know, just besides themselves. So they go in the hospital, and they go, of course, to the Rebbe. Now, the Rebbe had a practice that when you went into him to daven in such a situation, he would say a kapitel to him, he'd put us some money in stocker and wish refuah shleima. But on this occasion, he kept asking more details about the injury. And then, after he heard more, he said he needs a bit of time, and he locked himself in his study for a couple of hours. And the Gaba was seeing, he was putting Sforim off the shelf and he was writing, and a few hours later he emerged and he asked for the parents to be called back, and he wished them Bracha Vaslocha. He said, please God have Refu Shleima. He put money in, that was that. And sure enough, after a couple of days, the kid came out of his unconscious state and he started walking, he started improving, and he got out of bed, and slowly, slowly he recovered. So the Gaba, you know, was amazed. He went to the Rebbe and he said, what's going on? So he said that when he heard the details of this incident, again, it reminded him of a certain case in Hilchos Trefa, that this injury was similar to his disgust when it came to an animal in Hilchos Trefa. And he said, he remembered there was a big discussion about it. And he researched and looked into it, and he wrote a tshuva, and he came to the conclusion that this trefus, this incident, this was actually kosher. So again, he created a reality that the child could survive. That's really why the malachim were resisting. You're handing the keys of creation over to those, to the koyach haTorah, and to those who toil over Torah. That's what liyos kfufim leTorah v'amoleham. To Torah and to those who toil over Torah, to those yechidim who have that mastery over Torah. So really, that's why the malachim were resistant. They didn't want to hand over the keys. And that's pshat in the Aruch Chaim. That's why when you come to the Gemara, there are, you know, the Amiroim, a splitting seas, a dozen, you know, a dime a dozen. But when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, they couldn't do it. Why? Because that was before Matan Torah. It's only the Koyach HaTorah that gives them this ability. Okay, let's press on. Two final, short, beautiful ideas to share regarding Shavuos. The first one, I don't know where I saw it, but it's a very beautiful idea. Megillas Rus, everyone's favorite. Megillas Rus. Again, it's. Let's just remind ourselves of the facts a little bit. It's an obvious question. It's a strong question, which again, you hear this question, and you think, why on earth all these years you didn't think of this question? Rus and Naomi are destitute. Their husbands have died. They're penniless. Orpah has abandoned Naomi. They're now destitute. So Naomi says, you know, I've got a cousin by us. He's the god Ladar. Let's go to him and hopefully he'll help us out. What happens? They go to him. They said, yes, come and help. They send a message. He goes out to the field and he allows them to go, you know, collect the leket with the other paupers in the field. And she comes out with a nice amount. Good. Just think for a moment. Just imagine nowadays. Naomi, the wife of the previous godel, a cousin, has been through terrible, terrible times, comes and knocks on the door of her cousin, who is the godel Adar, or is the Rav in Shul. What do you think he'll do? He'll say, I'm so sorry to hear about your plight. Come and stay with me for a little bit. I'll go and speak to the wealthy people in my community. I'll help you out. We'll put you back on your feet. But that's not what he does. He says, you know what, come to my shul, and with the other people going around collecting, you'll go around collecting in Chazaras HaShatz, tomorrow morning Shachars. That's what he does. Isn't that true? Isn't it funny? What's Boaz doing? So I once saw an unbelievable pshat. He was telling Rus a very, very powerful message. He was aware that Rus was a new convert to the Jewish people. And he wanted to teach Rus a very powerful lesson. When does Leket happen? When is it that you go around and you collect the bits of grain? It's the busy season for the farmer. Now again, we're not living in an agricultural world. So cast your mind back, let's make it contemporary. End of January, try speaking to a friend of yours who is an accountant. You can't. The last 10 days of January, this is the end of year season. You know, it's you know, they're Torah, they're in the office 18 hours a day. It's impossible. They've got deadlines. They've got 500 tax returns to do in a few days' time. You know, it's very difficult. So imagine you've got someone who's going around collecting, and he's going to go around the office in the accountant firm for the last 10 days of January, and he's going to be busy working out, you know, whatever it may be. The accountant's going to go mad. He hasn't got time to be there to help him, to deal with him. The farming season, this is the whole year, all the effort has been to get the harvest. And all of a sudden, you've got your team, they're going out, they're harvesting, and you've got a whole bunch of aniyim running around your field, collecting leket and getting in the way, and a massive nuisance. It's a bit of a pain. Says Boaz, this is how we do things in Yiddishkeit. This is the Jewish way. Charity is not always convenient. It's not always easy. But you go into the field and you see that at the busiest time of my financial year, there are going to be loads of people in my field collecting leket. He was basically teaching Ruth a lesson that when it comes to charity, you do it properly. This is exactly how we do it in Klal Yisrael. In other words, when it comes to the Gentile world, I was listening to the radio the other day. They were saying how charity is, it's like become a big thing in America. The gala dinner, their, you know, celebrity endorsements. But that's very comfortable giving. Charity sometimes is not always so comfortable. You tell the person to go into the field at a hectic time, he'll roam your field, and this is how we do things in Klal Yisrael. We bring them in at the busiest times of year, and we help everyone to the best of our ability. That's a real lesson. That's what Boaz was trying to impart to Rus. Okay, one final idea, also a very, very beautiful idea. This I saw in an article last year or the year before from someone called Ephraim Shapiro, and he quoted Rav Bamberg, and he said also a beautiful idea. Very famous psukim at the end of the first parak of Rus. These are the psukim where Rus pleads with Naomi to say that I'm going to stay and I want to become Jewish. When I was young, my father made us learn these psukim off by heart. They're a very powerful psukim. Vatoymer Rus al tifki bi. I have to read it from the text because I've forgotten it. Vatoymer Rus al tifki bi. Do not pressure me. La ozvech lo shuv me'achraich to resist and not to come back with you. Ki el asher telch elech. Wherever you go, I will go. Vasher tolini olin. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Amich ami, your people is my people. Ve'alekayich elekoy. Death do us part. Those are the famous words. Now, Rashi, on this Gemara, on this Pasuk, quotes the Gemara and says that these are the rules of Geirus. All the rules of Geirus are learned out from these Pasukim. So Rashi famously says, You got to be straight. You got to tell them some of the Einshim. Because if you're gonna tell him it's all wonderful, you don't present it that. You gotta tell him as it is. You hear from the replies that Rus gave what Naomi was saying to her. You can't go out of the tchum b'Shabbos. There's something called tchum. Omalei, so Rus responded, Basha telchi eilech. Okay, wherever you go, I'll go. Also lanu lisyachin the kevim zoch in isha. You can't do yichud. You can't seclude yourself with a man, husband. So Rus said, no problem. Basher tolini olin, wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Amenun nidolim mishar amin b'sheishin, etc., etc. Asked Rav Bamberg an obvious question. If that indeed is what's going on, that's the background to this dialogue, then why does Rus say, Basher tolini olin, tolin, wherever you lodge, I lodge. Ashelchi eilech, wherever you go, I will go. It should be in the negative. If we're learning, there's a rule of tchum, you can't go outside, you can't go more than 2,000 amas. So okay, wherever you can't go, I won't go. You can't do yichud with the man who's not your husband. Okay, wherever you don't lodge, I won't lodge. Again, why is it in the positive, ba'asher telchi eilech ba'asher tolini olin? Says Rav Bamberg, a very, very powerful idea. Yiddishkeit is geschmack. Yiddishkeit is beautiful. And the beauty of Judaism is what needs to be conveyed to the next generation, and indeed to a ger who's looking into Yiddishkeit. You don't look at Shabbos, and you don't look at mitzvahs as an ol, as a burden. Wherever you can't go, I won't go. Wherever you can't sleep, I can't sleep. There's lots of pluses. I can't go there, but I can go here. Wherever you go, I'll go. I can't sleep the night there, so I'll sleep the night here. Wherever you sleep, I will sleep. It's just the same thing, but a different perspective. Moshe famously said, when in the early 1900s, when Yidden were coming from Eastern Europe and they came to New York and they came to Lower East Side, etc., it was tough, and it was tough. But many of the next generation didn't carry on because, as they said, the parents would say, Shves is anayid, it's difficult. But if that positivity, if that geschmack comes across, that's what holds the next generation. And that's really what Rus is saying over here. Basher tolini olin is positive, and the positive expression, that's really what she saw in things. And that's really a musa for parents and for mechanchim. It's important to convey what a privilege it is to be Jewish. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu, how fortunate we are. And that's really perhaps the connection to Shavuos, to feel how fortunate we are. What how lucky we are that we have a Torah, we have a moral code, we have the most beautiful way of living. That's really what Rus was trying to convey. So three ideas that we've shared tonight. Number one, the battle for Torah, to understand why the Malachim were resisting so much, because it was more than just handing over ideas or Torah knowledge. It was more than an intellectual transmission. Rather, it was passing over the keys of creation. And that's really the Arachaim's question. Before Matan Torah, they didn't have the ability. It was only post-Matan Torah they had that ability. As per the stories I shared with you, the Shagas Aryeh and the Klausenberger Rebbe. And those two ideas, that charity begins at home, Boaz was showing Rus how in Klal Yisrael we give tzedakah. Remarkable idea. And Dafka Rus, because she was from Moab, which was not a nation known for its chesed. And lastly, how Rus was conveying the beauty of Yiddishkeit in a positive sense, the same way, but just a different perspective. Basher Torini, Olin, Basher Telchi, Eilech, etc.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.